Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Take a minute and just welcome Newcastle, Meadville. We love you guys so much. Those with us online, one church, multiple locations. Cranberry, give them a welcome, would you? Love y'all. We're starting a series, How to Fight. Because, boy, in this world, you better know how, because there's a lot of fighting going on. And today, specifically, I want to teach you how to fight the good fight. Everybody say good fight. The Bible actually says there is a good fight that you can fight. And I want to help you to be able to do that today. But in the world we're living today, people are just fighting everywhere. Politics, it's a presidential election year. That's just a whole chunk of crazy, right? I mean, I'll try this side of the church. That's a whole chunk of crazy. I mean, this is crazy. What's going on? You have social things, racial things, economic fights. People are just battling over everything. Not to mention the battles we all face individually, the fights that we deal with every day of our life, the battle to have a sound marriage, to fight through the issues of a marriage. Just families alone. I mean, goodness, I grew up with four brothers. And I mean, we just fought because we did. So all we did was fight. In fact, the four of us were born, in like 5.5 years. And my parents were very, very devout and practicing Catholics. You can do the math on the way home for that one. But now the youngest one, baby Jesus, he didn't fight much. He was the one that my parents loved and honored and revered and put the rest of us in counseling. But it's okay. I'm not bitter. Not in the least. But I mean, we just beat each other. It was a fist fight every day, every day. We would fight so we could fight. And we fought over everything. And so, I mean, it's life's a fight. I remember, like, my brother Mike and I against the other two, Damien and Lucifer. We fought over the brand of ketchup that was the best. Hunt's or Heinz? That's what Mike and I picked. Those other two losers picked Hunt's. It's the last time you bought a Hunt's bottle of ketchup. I still hold it over their head. We'll be somewhere. I'll say, Heinz, see what you're... We fight. In fact, most people today, even Christians, are just fighting. But if you don't have a good fight, you'll just fight. And I want to help you to fight the good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 tells us what the good fight is. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed this good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He said, the good fight of faith is when you lay hold on something. Most people, when they fight, are laying hold of their rage. Many Christians have exchanged a spirit of faith and the fight of faith for just a spirit of rage. And we're laying hold of things that don't produce life. He said, but the fight of faith is when you lay hold of eternal life. Now, it doesn't just mean going to heaven. When you gave your life to Jesus, you were a partaker of eternal life at that moment. And that eternal life is working in you right now as a believer. And through your faith, you can lay hold on the eternal things of God in this life through the fight of faith. So I want to help you to win that battle, because a good fight is a fight of faith that you win and not exchange with just rage. So the first point is simply this: take up the shield of faith, or pick up the shield of faith. Now, this, of course, represents the shield of faith. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Say armor of God. Didn't say armor of man, said armor of God. And I want to talk to you specifically about your faith shield today, because this is where this is the battle. This is the fight you're called to fight, the fight of faith. So let me help you to understand it. The faith that we're talking about is really simple, really simple. There's a shield of it. Let me show it to you in the Bible. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, say it out loud, above all. That means above all these other parts of the armor of God, above all, taking the shield of faith. God doesn't put it in your hands. God doesn't do it for me. He said, now you take the shield of faith. And listen to what he said would happen. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, the enemy of your soul has fiery darts. And our staff got these for me, and this is actually a razor at the end. So they were like, Pastor, please be careful. Because if you drop it, it's going to stick in your foot and it's going to leave a mark. But the enemy has fiery darts that he's shooting at you. Remember this, the temptations and the darts coming at you, they're coming from God. He's your answer. The scripture said there is a shield of faith that you can take hold of. Listen, that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's only two places the darts of the enemy of your soul and mind are going to lodge. In your faith shield or in your life. And the last place you want them is burning in you. But I'm going to help you understand today how to fight the good fight of faith. What does that really mean? How do I do it? And I want to take you into the word to help you do it. So what is faith? What does, when you say the shield of faith, what does it really mean? What is the definition of the word faith? When a Christian says, I have faith in God, what does that mean? Faith is simply this, what you believe. Faith is simply the beliefs that govern your life. Faith in God is when your beliefs about what God has said about you, govern your life. Everybody has faith in something. Everybody who's married has faith in a form of marriage that you believe works. How do I know which one I have? The one you practice. Everyone has faith for the way they handle every part of their life based on what they believe is their best course of action. And for a believer, if you're going to win, if you are going to have the fiery darts of the enemy not stick in you, but in your faith shield, then you're going to have to be governed by what God says over your life and over my life. Romans 10:17 tells us how faith comes. I imagine not once, twice, but maybe hundreds and hundreds of times through the years, people have asked me to pray for them a very specific prayer. Pastor John, would you pray that God will give me faith? I said, no, I won't do that. Well, why won't you do that? Because it's an unscriptural prayer. How could you? No, God give me faith. God give me faith. Let me show you how God said faith comes to you. Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes, pretty clear, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes to you by hearing, but hearing God's word. The faith that I live with that is apart from what God said came because I heard it, saw it, experienced it, and it now governs my life. What I believe governs me. But the faith of God comes from his word. When I put the word of God in my life on a daily basis, I am actually bringing the capacity to actually walk by faith and not by sight. I'm actually developing a faith shield, a shield that God has designed, listen, to quench all, say it out loud, all the fiery darts of the enemy of your soul, all of them. But it has to come by, what does God say about your marriage? If you don't know that, you don't have a faith shield. You just have a plan that maybe you came up with, and maybe in your marriage, just maybe, you lost that loving feeling. Whoa. Loving feeling, you lost it. And your feelings tell you, I don't love you anymore. I'm not talking about abuse or horrible situations. I'm just talking about just a deadlock of selfishness, and I don't love you anymore. I need to find me one I love. And so you go find you another. And sometimes we find another before we left the first one. Because we believe the problem is just I need another person. The problem is everywhere you go, there you are. And what you believed in the first one, you believe in the second one. I'm not saying that to condemn us. It's just how we work as humans. What does God say about marriage? Until you know what God says about marriage, every attack of marriage will stick right in your marriage, right in your family, Write in your finances. Write in your mental health. Write in your physical body. Write in your purpose for your life. I want to help you today to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Here's the bottom line. Here's how you know you're using your faith shield. When what God says about whatever arena of your life in his word governs the way you think, the way you act, and the way you live, and what you choose. It's that simple. And that really is simple, isn't it? When what I believe and what God says governs my life more than what I feel, what I see, what I've experienced, good, bad, and ugly. 1 John chapter 4 says this. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says this. For everyone that is born of God overcomes and defeats this evil world. I want you to see these all-inclusive words in almost every scripture I'll read to you today. Everyone. Say it out loud, everyone. This isn't for like special heaven-dusted people. This is for every one of us here in the here and rotten right now, with all of our flaws, all of our issues. Listen now. Listen now. Listen to what he said. This is so important. For everyone who is born of God, that means you've given your life to Christ. For everyone that is born of God overcomes and defeats this evil world. This is the victory that overcomes this world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. We achieve this victory by our faith. In other words, being governed by what God says. That's how you overcome this evil world. Not by coming up with a different plan. Not by fighting it in the natural. Not by fighting it through rage. Not through manipulation. And not through begging God. See, the faith shield is in my hands. He said, you pick it up. He didn't say God will put it in your hands. That's why when people say, here comes a dart. Oh, Lord, I put it in your hands. He said, no, I put something you got to put in your hand. Stick it out in front of you. Let your beliefs govern your life. And let that dart go into your beliefs. And it will extinguish every, all-inclusive words, every fiery dart of the wicked. Because God's word created the universe. How many of y'all think it's big enough to quench a dart? But it has to be able to govern my life first. Now, I want to show you a few slides that I actually did these myself, which I'm really proud of, because I'm challenged in so many areas, and this is one of them. But I finished it and I said, I'm not even sending that to the team to fix it. I just like it. They would have made it much better, but I don't really care. I want you to look at this first slide, which shows you three circles. They have it up. That's awesome, huh? I did that. My mom's in here. Look what I did, Mom. All of us have circumstances in our life that are difficult. And we all have a certain amount of energy. How many of you know your energy is limited? Amen? How many of you have kids? How many of you have little kids? Come on, man. You'd pay a grand just for a nap. Right? I mean, come on. You borrow the money just to sleep for a weekend. You have a limited amount of energy. And then you also have beliefs that govern your life. The next slide is going to show you how we typically fight our battles. All of us. This is a temptation for all of us. We take all of our energy and we pour it into our problems, into our circumstances, and we try to change them with our own hands, our own power, our own weapons, our own wisdom. And it isn't that we can't make an impact, but it would be paramount to going to a bonfire with a squirt gun and squirting it and thinking you're making an impact. Because you can't win spiritual battles. You can't win even these natural issues with natural weapons. But this third slide tells you how God intends you to live when you, listen now, listen. If you're going to have a faith shield that governs your life, God has given all of us enough energy to affect not our circumstances, but our beliefs. The time and effort I spend feeding on the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, I have enough energy to form beliefs in my heart. And these beliefs can govern my life. And when what you believe about what God says is now poured into your circumstance will be extinguished. Doesn't mean it's perfect. It's a fight. Everyone say fight. How many of y'all know fights aren't pretty? But a good fight is one you win. A faith fight is one you win, no matter what you're facing. And I want to help you to be able to do that. Now, here's what the Bible says about my temptations and yours. In Corinthians, it says, in 1 Corinthians, it says, there will be no temptation that will come to you or to me that isn't but what's common to all other men and women. In other words, the enemy of your soul, when he pulls out a dart, he can't find something from eternity past that we aren't familiar with in our human realm and fire it at you. He said, every temptation, the enemy, every test, every fiery dart, human beings have they're common to all human beings. You're not special. Everybody, everyone on planet Earth could experience the same dart. But so listen now, your temptations are common to man. But he said the weapons of your warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Your temptations are common to man. Your weapon is common to God. It's a faith shield, not your faith. It's called the armor of God. So imagine going into a battle having a God weapon against a natural attack. It's why you can be confident that every fiery dart of the enemy can be extinguished in the shield. Because it's not, quote, your faith shield. He said, take to you the whole armor of God. And literally, he said, take the shield of faith, where you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Think of the difference between the weapon, a God weapon in your hand, like the shield of faith, and our natural fight, our natural, we're gonna fix this. If you were to fight the Roman armies today, the Roman Empire was, the Roman army was vast. But imagine the Roman army today coming up against armies today that have drones and fighter jets and helicopters and just even the weapons that the soldiers would have. You could wipe out the Roman army in a day because the weapon of your warfare today is so far superior to what the Romans had that it wouldn't even be a fight. And yet that analogy isn't even fair when you compare natural weapons to the armor of God. It's not even close, because both of those are at least human weapons. What if you knew how to fight your battles by faith? What if you knew how to let what you believe govern your life? How do I know if I'm doing that or not? By what governs your life? Let me give you an example. How many of you have children or grandchildren? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you want them to be able to win battles? How many of you would also agree with this, is that our children today have more attacks coming against them than you almost can't make it up. Did you ever think you'd live in a time when there would be battles against our children to even pick their gender? I'm not putting anyone down. That's a real battle for some people. But imagine a culture that encourages it. You can't even exaggerate that kind of darkness. What do you believe is going to win the battle for your kids? Education? I'm not against it. I'm not in any way saying you shouldn't educate your children. But do you think education is going to quench this? It won't. Well, you know, they're in sports and they're really good, and it's good to learn how to be on a team. You're right. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there is a value to that. But it won't quench one of these. If you'll take what you believe and how you act, you'll find out if you have a shield of faith for your family or if you have your own weapons. Example, this June, we're going to be having the Encounter Conference. Middle school, senior high students. Last summer, God dealt with me. I won't go into the details of it. Fill this room with the next generation all over the region. Fill this room. That means we had to drop the price. I knew immediately, because $220 is a ton of money. And we supplemented it at that. as a church. It's $29 right now. That's how much it'll cost a child to go. End of this month, it goes up to $49. So get in early. But here's the thing I want you to see. Where will your kid be, or your grandchild that you have influence over, or a student in your life, someone that you have influence? Will they be here? Well, I have to check. You mean you're already on vacation? Well, no, I don't know yet. You already told me what you believe. Something else you believe is going to quench this more than that child hearing God's voice for themselves, having an encounter with God, the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, where they are saturated by the power of God for 3 days. If they aren't here, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, that have influence in your kid's life, if they aren't here, listen, this isn't working. Something else you believe will quench this. And I'm telling you, nothing else will quench it but a relationship with God. Because if you know anything about kids as they get older, your voice gets muted. And the window for when they can hear you shuts. What if they could hear God's voice? What if in that 3-day time, God speaks to your child's heart? I mean the God of creation, because he loves them. And he begins to set them free and deal with the brokenness of this world. What you believe is what will govern your life. So just answer that question in your heart, right? Don't out loud. Am I going to get my student here, or is there something I deem more valuable to quench this? Because God dealt with me to do it as your pastor. We're investing somewhere around $250,000 to do it as a church. Why? That's a waste. Why that waste? Can I encourage you when you talk? If you're going to quote the Bible, don't quote Judas. I just get the biggest kick out of folks. Why would this waste? That money could have been given to the poor. Do you know that's what Judas said? Okay, come on, y'all. If you're going to quote the Bible, the last dude I'm picking is Judas. Just thinking out loud. I don't know. Here's the question. What's going to govern your life? There are about 800 students in this church that should be there. That are actually a part of our church that could be there. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, get them here. And the rest will be filled with churches all around the region. Here's the next thing I want to show you how to deal with, the actual dart. The second point is the darts of the enemy, how to deal with them. If you don't know how to use your faith, I'm going to show you practically how to use your faith shield when something comes against you. Because these fiery darts are going to go in one of two places. They're going to go into your faith shield and be extinguished, or they are going to go into your life. And those are the only two options. And God said, I've given you a weapon, a shield of faith that will quench all, everyone say it out loud, all the fiery darts of the wicked. So let me talk to you about how to use this faith shield. Jesus said this about his words. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. He said, if you know the truth, which is what he called his word, the truth of my word, listen, it will make you free, not your effort. You put this in you and develop a faith shield. The truth of my word will make you free. How's that happen? The same way his word created the universe. How many of y'all think the God that spoke the worlds into existence with his breath of his words can extinguish one of these with the same word? Come on, man. That's for you as a believer. You can live this way. But I want to teach you how. Not a theory, not just kind of like, well, amen. How do you work it out? I want to give you just two simple examples. And anything I'm talking about today, in any area of your life that I don't cover, and there's all a bunch of them, this book does. Find out what it says, let it govern your life, and get a faith shield. Let me talk to you about the darts. Because the fact of it is, these darts that bypass this end up in me, end up in you. Here's the first dart. I'm only going to talk to you about two. And I'm only doing these as a template to show you how to fight the battle. Let me talk to you about the fiery dart of self-righteousness. The fiery dart of self-righteousness. What's that? Let me help you. Now, there is a form of self-righteousness where somebody thinks they're righteous before God because they go to church, or they're a good person, or I belong to this church, or I was baptized, and that is self-righteousness, because you can't buy your salvation. Well, yeah, but my church, that's, God bless you, have a fun. But no church is going to make you right with God, including this one. Only a relationship with God through the Savior. That's a fact. Now, that form of self-righteousness is more rare. Let me tell you the one that gets in, not into our faith shield, but into our life. Has anybody ever failed since you became a Christian? Anyone? How about a big, ugly failure? Okay, I'll try this side because y'all are lying. I mean, a big, ugly, ugly failure. Have you ever been in the midst of a failure and then tried to pray? You know how hard it is? So what do we normally do? And we try to make ourselves righteous. God, Lord, if you would just help me, I'll go shopping with Michelle. I won't even go to the food court. I will walk with her to store after store, after store, after store, after store, while she touches stuff. And then goes back to the same store. I'll do it for you, God. I love her. If you'll just help me go. Let's make a deal. Self-righteousness. Let me show you what the word says. This is how you win. Know what the word says. Listen now. Galatians 2:21 says this. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law of God, could make us righteous with God, it means that Christ died for nothing. If there was any way that I could make myself right with God, Jesus didn't have to die. He said, what do you mean? If I'm self-righteous, what's self-righteous? Make a deal. How about this? I need to pray. Give me a few days to get back in line with God, and then I'll come to God, because you know he doesn't find out I sinned until I tell him. That's how our mind works. Just give me a little space. 3 or 4 days go by. God's had to forgot by now. He's forgotten, man. I mean, I know it had to tick him off. And so now he's kind of forgotten. I came up and he's old. He's the Ancient of Days. Probably thought, I wonder, what was that you did again? Shh, 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 we're good. Self-righteousness is when something that's happened in your life prevents you from going to God once you become a Christian. And you frustrate the grace of God, or you make it meaningless, because your salvation and mine wasn't earned. It's a gift. The minute you earn it, it ceases to be a gift. That's why we're told in the scripture to come boldly to the throne of grace, because the law of God was never given to us. In the Old Testament, there were over 600 laws given to Israel. Those 600 laws were never given to produce righteousness. They were given to actually point the need for a Savior, because no man ever kept the law, no woman ever. And here's the crazy part of the law. In the Old Testament, it says, if you offend in one point, at any point in your life, you're guilty of all 600, because you're talking about a righteous God. Perfection is the only way to be in his presence. Well, I'm done. And when you give your life to Jesus and then try to be perfected by your own behavior, it's fine to feel bad about doing wrong, certainly, and to turn and repent from wrongdoing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you think God's not going to, he doesn't want to have a, he's not your righteousness anymore until you feel like it again. That's self-righteousness. And here's what it's designed to do when you live under that kind of law. The law drives you away from the presence of God, telling you you need a Savior. But what if you already have a Savior? It just drives you away from God. And all the while, all you do is you live your life. Let's make a deal. And before long, you stop going to church. You stop hanging out with believers. And you just give up. Because I just can't live perfectly. Do you see how self-righteousness is a lie of the enemy to separate you from God? But what if you had a faith shield? That the word of God was clear. Because see, when the dart of self-righteousness sticks in you, It literally drives you away from God. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus, when Jesus knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the very righteousness of God through Jesus. Now let me practically show you how this works. Here comes the dart of self-righteousness. I've made a mistake. I've done something that I really regret. I know I've offended God. And by the way, I did it on purpose. You ever do it on purpose? Okay, this side lies. Let me try again. Did you ever know it was wrong? Do it anyway. You did? Yeah, me too. Okay, so it happens, right? I didn't say it was right, but it happens. You're either going to let that dart stick in you and drive you away from God, or you're going to take your shield of faith. Here's how it works. Here comes the dart, and I can either let it absorb into my life and drive me from God, or I can do this. Father, I feel like dirt. Is that how you talk to God? Yeah, because he's my father. Don't talk to God like he's weird. Don't use another voice, oh my God. And you know, you ever hear people pray, Almighty God, I cometh unto the King James English. You don't even know King James. Never met him. But Father, I just feel like dirt. Oh God, I'm so sorry I did that. I just feel so, please. Oh God. Well, this is how I feel. But I thank you that you love me. I thank you. I refuse to frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by my perfection, then Jesus, you died for nothing. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for taking my sin and giving me your righteousness just as an act of faith and love and mercy. It's a gift. Thank you for giving me right standing. Thank you that you said in your word that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help me in a time of need. No matter what I feel like, let God be true and every man a liar. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And how I feel will not govern my life. What I did will not govern my todays and my tomorrows. I will walk with you all the days of my life. And I have right standing with my God because Jesus is the Lord of my life. He purchased me. That's how you fight. And you fight when you do it. And it sticks right in here and it extinguishes. Let me talk to you about another dart that we all deal with, all of us. The dart of a false identity. The dart of a false identity. Because God has made us in his image. He has an identity that he wants us to absorb in Christ. But I want to talk to you today about a culture that is trying to give people, believers, a false identity. Because every dart of the enemy is designed to distort the image of God in you, to cause you to see yourself and God differently. Every last one of them. Listen to what the word of God says. Shield of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone, here again, all inclusive, anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The greatest lie of this generation is this. I am how I feel. It is the lie that is sinking a generation, and it is lodging not only in people that don't know God, but it is lodging in believers. I lost that loving feeling, so I need to find me another. Now, I'm not talking about abuse in a marriage. I'm talking about a relationship where your feelings define. What does God say about loving your wife or loving your husband? What does he say? Do you know? Oh, I don't know. Then you don't have a shield of faith. Because if you married any length of time, your feelings are going to betray you. So how do you know that? Because I've been married 35 years. It hasn't happened as much for me as it has Michelle, but there's times I've looked at her and I said, I don't even like you. And she looked back and said, ditto. Anybody ever have one of those moments? We've been in an argument. How long? Just a decade. We're fine, though. Anybody married? If you're waiting for your feelings, come on, man, your feelings? When this lie of identity gets extinguished, you're able to act independently of feelings, which is what created your feelings in the first place. And they'll come back. But the lie is, here's the identity. Once it, I'm divorced. I'm full of anxiety. I'm depressed. I was abused. No one loves me. I was abandoned. Those are all horrible things that can happen to a person, but they are not who you are. And once they form your identity, boy, it sticks in you. And that's why in our world today, people are fighting and training for the victim Olympics, because how I feel so badly that a culture trying to teach children to question their gender. Listen, that's a real issue for people. I'm not minimizing it. All these are real issues. But as a believer, there's a way to quench those darts. Sexuality confusion. All of these things that come into people's lives are real. But it's how I feel. I walk by faith and not by feelings. You will never quench this fiery dart of identity by arguing with it. You've got to have truth that will extinguish it in your shield of faith. Let me read you first in John chapter 1. It's so important. I'm teaching you how to use this in everyday life with the word. In John 1, it said, but to all, again, all inclusive, say it out loud, all. But to all who believe and accepted Jesus, he gave the right to be children of God. They are born not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes directly from God. A birth that comes directly from God. Here's what he's saying. You may have been born as a human with a family that loved you and was planned, or maybe it was just an act of passion. You don't even know who your dad is. Or God forbid, an act of violence. He said, no matter how you were brought into this world, wanted, unwanted, I birthed you because I wanted you. You're mine. I chose you. I sought you. I died for you. No matter who abandoned you, you are not your family of origin. That's not your identity. My tree's family tree's full of nuts and fruit. Not your heavenly one. You have an identity with your heavenly Father. Your past is not your identity. No matter the worst thing you've ever done or the best thing you've ever done or the worst thing that's ever been done to you does not define you. But it sure feels like it, doesn't it? So much of depression and anxiety that is not organic or chemically related in the body are a result of darts that have convinced you that you're not who God said you are. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. This is so important. Because here's the bottom line. You are who God said you are. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Listen, and that is who you are. That's who you are. That's your identity. So let me work it out for you. Anxiety, depression, abandonment, a husband or a wife that left you. What? Fill in the blank. All the things we can identify ourselves with. And here comes that dart to identify you and to give you an identity that is different from the one who loved you and died for you. Here's how you win that battle. Just take a hypothetical of you're married and your spouse leaves you and they just move out and go find another. That'll wipe you out, man. God, I'm just worthless. I can't even keep a marriage. And you're beating yourself. They're just sticking in you everywhere. If you're gonna have the shield of faith, you're gonna have to do this. Get behind it. And you're gonna have to do this. Be honest with God. Father, I feel like dirt. I just don't know how I can make tomorrow. But let God be true and every man a liar. What you say about me is true no matter what I feel. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. You will give me favor and you will restore every broken place in my life because you're my Father and you love me. I thank you that I'm in Christ and I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and everything's become new. I thank you, Father, with all my heart that I wasn't born of God or born of just men and a woman who had a choice or of just an act of passion, but you chose me. I belong to you. No matter who rejected me, I'm accepted by you. I'm accepted by the God of all creation, and you define my identity. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm complete in Christ. I'm not incomplete. If you really have fun with God, which I do, I would say, you complete me. Anybody know the movie? It's all right. It's an old movie. That's all right. I'd pray that way. You complete me. Not Jim Bob who hit the road or Susie Bob. Come on. That's how your shield of faith works. And Father, you lavished your love on me, even though they didn't. How great is your love for me? You love me and I'm your child. That's who I am. And then you fight to stay connected to what you believe. And that's when you pray with some volume. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only, not beneath. I will refuse to live by my feelings. I will not be governed by how I feel, what's happened to me, worst I've ever done or done to me. I'm not living that way. I refuse to live that way. Father, let God be true. Every man a liar. You are the truth of my life. You are the restorer of my soul. You caused me to go on the high places. You said I'm seated together with Christ in heavenly places, far above everything in this earth. You are my God. I am your child. I'm loved by my Father, and I refuse to be identified by anything other than what you say. I walk by faith and not by sight. You live that way, you'll quench some darts. That's how you fight the fight of faith. And then you find out what the word says in any other arena, and you fight that fight. Let me pray for every one of us first that know Christ, so that you can now have that opportunity to take a step back and say, Father, help me to take up my shield of faith. And these things that have been overcoming me, I'm going to now fight those battles by faith. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice at every one of our campuses. I ask you to help us to see what it means to live in the truth. For the truth will make us free, and the lies will imprison us. And every lying dart of the enemy that bypasses my faith shield will lodge in my life and seek to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, I pray that we'll fight the good fight of faith. We will choose to take hold of the shield of faith. And I pray that over every person, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If today you drew your final breath on planet Earth at all of our campuses, listen, every head bowed, every eye closed, only campus pastors are looking around. If you died today, where would you spend your eternity? Jesus died for you to pay the debt you couldn't pay and the debt he didn't owe. When he hung on that cross, he bore the wrath of God that was due you and due me. And there is no way of eternal life other than receiving a Savior. You can't earn this. And you can't be too far from God to pass the reach of his love for you. He died for broken, sin-stained people, of which I am one and you're one. And there are only two ways you'll die: in your sin, paying it yourself, or having received the payment of a Savior who died and loved you and bore the wrath of God for you, died in your place, buried in your place, rose from the dead, and conquered death for you and for me. So with every head bowed and every eye closed at all of our campuses, let me ask you a simple question. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Because death is certain. Jesus said, there's a heaven and there's a hell. He said it because it's true. And the price he paid was so that you could have eternal life, which is a free gift. If you desire to receive the Son of the living God into your life, he turns no one away and he's alive. He turns no one away. He will come to your life. He will make you brand new. Your sin stain will be vanished. I mean, he'll wipe it away as far as the east is from the west. And you will stand in the very righteousness of God. The great exchange, your sin, his righteousness. So that when you die, you'll be heaven bound, not because of your goodness, but because of his. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer to invite Christ in my life. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand and then we'll all pray the prayer out loud and together with you. I'm not going to single you out. So at all of our campuses, just the campus pastors have their eyes open and observing. I ask you, if you desire to receive Christ, would you right now just simply raise your hand and say, pray for me. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you. Do it right now. Do it right now. Your eternity hangs in the balance. This is the most important decision you will make or not make in your life. One last moment at all of our campuses. You can put your hands back down. If you've not yet raised your hand, you'd say, Pastor, please include me as well. Simply raise your hand and we'll pray for you right now, right where you're seated. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it, and Jesus will come into your heart, and he'll never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it, and we'll all pray it together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. Jesus, I receive you now to be the Lord of my life. I will live my life and follow you. Thank you for being my Savior, saving me from a sin debt I could never pay on my own. I am now a child of God, and my sin debt is canceled. And when I die, I'm heaven bound because Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen, amen. Come on, at all of our campuses, give them a hand. Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.